The court of opinion can be a most brutal place. And by the time we come to John in chapter 10, Jesus is actually not doing very well in the court of public opinion amongst the Jews in Israel. What has actually happened? They have turned against him. He's got very few disciples who are still following him. And people generally, what are they saying about Jesus? They're saying he is a lunatic and demon-possessed. So what does Jesus have to say to the court of public opinion? He tells a parable. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in another way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the sheep pen by the gate is the shepherd. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls them, they know his voice, and they follow him. Now, Jesus is speaking here about a site which was common in ancient Israel, the sheep pen. And there's a couple of things to understand about the sheep pen. The first thing to understand is that a sheep pen would not contain simply one flock, but the idea was that different shepherds would bring their flock to the sheep pen. They would all be held in this pen together overnight for their safety. And then in the following morning, the shepherds would come along and they would call out their own sheep. The sheep would know the voice of the shepherd. Each shepherd would have their own call. And indeed, sometimes the shepherd would call them by name. And hearing the voice of their shepherd, they would come out of the pen and follow their shepherd. The place to be was with the shepherd because the shepherd would lead the sheep to good green pasture and still waters. So Jesus continued his parable and he said, the shepherd leads his flock and they follow him because they know his voice and they will not follow a stranger. Indeed, they will run away from a stranger because they do not recognize his voice. And here the key to understanding is that relationship between the shepherd and his own sheep. He knows his sheep and the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, recognizing the voice, they follow him. What is the application of the parable? Well, the pen represents Israel. It represents Judah and Jerusalem and the Jews. But not all of Jerusalem, not all of the Jews are actually Jesus' flock. And Jesus is calling out of that sheep pen. He's calling out of Israel. He's calling out of Judah, those Jews, those people who would be his disciples, who will follow him. That is his flock. So it's quite clear that as Jesus speaks, not everybody is going to be following him. The real kicker is that as Jesus explains it, if you're not a member of Jesus' flock, then you're not a member of God's flock. That is, you're not one of God's people. And the reason is simply this. Jesus has come from God and he is God. So as he calls out his flock, he is calling out the flock that belongs to his Father. Jesus said this way, I am in the Father is in me, or I and the Father are one. And this did not go down well in the court of a public opinion as Jesus was speaking. Indeed, when he said these things, the Jews picked up rocks to stone him. Jesus, however, escaped to another place. Now, I would not be the one to accuse Jesus of plagiarism, but the story that Jesus tells in John chapter 10 is very, very similar indeed to another story, which is told by the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel lived some 500 years before Jesus. So what is the story that Ezekiel tells? Because Jesus is very clearly conscious of it. And Ezekiel tells the story not of a good shepherd, but of the bad shepherds. And indeed, he is comparing the bad shepherds to the leaders of Israel. He is saying they were the bad shepherds. And what does he say about these bad shepherds? Well, shepherds were supposed to look after the sheep, care for the sheep, search for the lost sheep, bring them back, bind them up and heal them. And these shepherds, the leaders of Israel, rather than caring for the sheep, they were using the sheep for their own profit. And so Ezekiel tells a story where they take the best of the wool for themselves, the leaders, and they slaughter the lambs for their own profit and for their own benefit. They do not go looking for the sheep. And as a result, the sheep are scattered on the hills and become prey to the wolves and the wild animals. Now, as Ezekiel spoke, he was speaking to the Israelites in exile in Babylon. So the wolves and the wild animals, as it were the Babylonians who had come among the sheep, and the sheep had fallen prey to them and they'd been taken away. So as the Lord prophesied through Ezekiel, as he sees that the shepherds of Israel were bad shepherds, the Lord's response is, I myself will shepherd the sheep. I will search for them on the hills and I will bring them back. I will care for them myself, says the sovereign Lord. Now you come to Jesus' statement, and Jesus says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. I am the good shepherd. And it becomes very clear what Jesus is saying. He is the good shepherd, and the leaders of Israel, well, they were the bad shepherds who are being replaced. But Jesus is saying much more than that. And it's all contained in that statement, I am the good shepherd. And this is like a double-coated chocolate ice cream. We've got two coats here. The first coat is Jesus says, I am. And of course, this is the name of God, which God gave to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said to God, who shall I say is sending me? The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, I am is sending you. I am was the name of God. And when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's being very deliberate about it. But the second coat is in the good shepherd. Because what Jesus is saying very clearly here is that he is the good shepherd. He is the Lord himself, the good shepherd, who would come to care for his sheep and lead his sheep, protect them, bind them up, and lead them out and give them good pasture and still waters. And so as Jesus makes this claim, he is claiming to be none other than Yahweh, the God of Israel, the sovereign Lord, come to call out his sheep, to call out his flock, who will follow him. So then, as the Jews come to Jesus and say, tell us plainly, who are you? And Jesus says to them, I have already told you. He has indeed told them. He has said to them, I am the good shepherd. But they don't get it, so Jesus has to explain it even more clearly. And so he says a whole string of sentences in this chapter. The Father knows me, and I know the Father. The Father and I do the same work. As the Father keeps the sheep, so I also keep the sheep. It's the Father's work to save the sheep. It's Jesus' work to save the sheep. The Father and I are one. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And so as the Jews come and say to Jesus, who are you? Jesus' response is very simple. I am God incarnate. This is Jesus' very clear claim in John and chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. God promised that he would come and shepherd his sheep. Now I am here. Now come back with me a moment to the story in Ezekiel, which Jesus relies so heavily upon. Because the story in Ezekiel is not just the story of the good shepherd who replaces the bad shepherds, the leaders of Israel. The story in Ezekiel is God's judgment on the bad sheep. And so there's a description of the sheep. One sheep pushes against another. They headbutt the other sheep with their horns. They shove with their flank. It's not enough for them to be led in the good pasture. They have to trample it down with their hooves. It's not enough for them to have the clear, still waters. They have to muddy the water as they tread in it. So one sheep does not look after another. And God says that he will judge between one sheep and another as he calls out his own flock. Now, Jesus has answered the question of the crowds, who do you say you are? I am the good shepherd. But now he's answering an implied question. That is, who are the crowds? And as Jesus says, the miracles that I have done should make it clear to you, I am the good shepherd. But you do not hear my voice. You do not follow me because you are not my sheep. He says it very clearly. you are not my sheep. In other words, you have not heard my voice. You are not following me. You are not my sheep. That means you are not the flock of God. Jesus was being judged in the court of public opinion. He was being judged to be a lunatic and demon-possessed. What was his answer? What was his answer as to why the people of Israel were not following him? Why were they rejecting him? His answer is very simple. You are not my sheep, and therefore you are not the flock of God. If you were, you would hear my voice, and you would become my disciples and follow me. So friends, the challenge here is very, very clear indeed. And the challenge is this. Are we going to go with the court of public opinion, or are we going to go with Jesus? Are we going to hear his voice? The court of public opinion today is very similar to the court of public opinion back in Jesus' own day. Perhaps the message is different, but it's still the rejection of who Jesus claims to be, the rejection of who he truly is. The court of opinion today may not say Jesus was a lunatic and demon-possessed. The court of public opinion today is more likely to say, oh, he's a good man, but irrelevant. He was a great teacher, but we don't need to listen to him. The court of opinion today is much more likely to say, well, he was one teacher among many and all roads lead to God, so we can follow Jesus or we can follow anybody else. Jesus' message was entirely different. And as a matter of fact, Jesus uses this parable and the illustration that he's given us of the sheep pen to illustrate how he is, in fact, the only way. And I want to explain that to you because the application is Jesus is the only way to the truth. We have no choice but to follow him. There is no other gate to eternal life. So Jesus takes the image of the sheep pen. He speaks about the gate. He says that he is the gate. And anyone who comes through him is able to go out and find pasture. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. And elsewhere in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This is Jesus' clear claim. He is the only shepherd. He is the only one who can bring us to eternal life. There is no other gate. Anyone else is a thief and a robber. Again, that's really clear in the parable. The one who doesn't enter through the gate but climbs over the wall and tries to come in another way is there to butcher the sheep and will not lead them to eternal life. There is only one way. I'd wager that if you met someone as they were breaking through the bedroom window into your home, you'd be more than a little bit suspicious. You might say to them, why didn't you knock on the front door? Jesus is the front door. He is legitimate. And he is the only one who legitimately has the authority of God to bring us in and take us out and bring us to eternal life. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. If you ask the question, how do I know that Jesus is the only way, the only true gate to eternal life? The answer is very simple. It's the resurrection. There is no one else in the whole of the history of humankind who has been dead for 2 days and risen from the dead. And Jesus is now ascended to the Father. He is the one who has all authority to judge the living and the dead. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, never mind the court of public opinion. This is your life. And there is only one gate, one way to find eternal life. Jesus is that gate. And he has promised that any who hear his voice and follow him, he will never let them go and he will bring them into eternal life. So my appeal to you is this. Hear Jesus' voice and follow him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness forevermore, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear none ill, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. My prayer is this, that the Lord is also your shepherd. And if he is, you can know this for certain. He will never let you go.